So yesterday, we went around probably the most of the, some, a few of the places. There's millions and millions of Tirthan Kambam. We went all around the outside places. Within Kamyavan itself, there are many places. We were just at Bhimalkund, but from Bhimalkund we went out all the way to Bojantali. So within Kamyavan, it's very famous, is Kameshwar Mahadev. As we were explaining, on different sides of Braj, different Shivalings are there. So in Kamban, one, Kameshwar Mahadev is there. Because he can satisfy all desires. Vrishabhanu and Kirtira, they worship Kameshwar Mahadev because they were very much desiring to have a daughter. So as a result of worshipping Kameshwar Mahadev, you can just see the power. They got one very beautiful daughter named Srimati Radharani. This is Kameshwar Mahadev as well. Now if we'll go back to Bhimalkund for a second, because not only in the early pastimes of Lord Krishna do we find pastimes there in this Kamyavan, but it's also mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In one of the purports, Prabhupada is describing one of the verses mentions so many different personalities. So one of whom was Jayadratha. So in that particular purport, Prabhupada mentioned that the Pandavas were staying there in Kamyavan when they were in exile. One of the places that they stayed. In fact, when they first arrived in that Kamyavan, they were wandering here and there. And not far from Kameshwar Mahadev, there's one Dharmakund. The Pandavas were wandering here and there, and they came to this place, and they're very thirsty. So Yudhisthira asked Nakula, "You please go find out some water." And they waited and waited. Nakula didn't come back, so he sent Sahadev. Sahadev didn't come back. He sent Bhima. Bhima didn't come back. He sent Arjun. Arjun didn't come back. So finally, he himself went to see what was going on. And he saw that all his brothers are lying there, dead, on the banks of this kund. He was very shocked. But he was also very thirsty. He was so much overwhelmed by thirst, even though he was seeing his dead brothers, he just started for that water to drink. And suddenly some voice came from the kund that said, "Don't drink this water, otherwise you'll meet the same fate as your brothers." So Yudhisthira Maharaj, he stopped. He saw his brothers have died. Must have been the same thing. They went to take water and somebody, voice came and they didn't heed that voice and they drank the water and they died. So he stopped. He said, "Yes, but who am I speaking to?" So then this yaksha appeared in the kund. A very famous chapter in there in Mahabharata, Yaksha Prashan. The questions of the yaksha. Because he said, "Before you touch any of this water, you have to answer my questions." So he had so many different questions. Yudhisthira Maharaj, very interesting. Of course, we know the most famous one Prabhupada was always pointing out. Kimashcharjam? Wonderful in the sense of Acharya means surprising thing. Or something to wonder about. So we know Yudhisthira Maharaj, he gave the answer that everybody sees his father has died, his mother has died, his recently seen grandfather and grandfather died. He sees everyone is dying, somehow or other he goes on leading his life as if somehow or other he's not going to die. He's convinced somehow or other I'm going to escape. Especially we're just leaving that period. When one is a young man, then he thinks, oh, life will always go on like this. But now we got to that point where things are starting to go wrong in the body, and we realize one of these days, somehow or other, we may not escape. Is it? Before we were thinking, no, it'll always go on like this. So, Kim was charging. Other question he asked, very interesting question. He said, how can one judge who is a Brahmin? By his learning? By his scholarship? By his birth? Or by his behavior? So Yudhishthira Maharaj said, well, we see sometimes people are very learned or very scholarly, but sometimes they're very proud or very angry. Especially because they're proud, then automatically when proud he becomes very angry. They're not very well behaved, but Brahman, he's Vidya Vinaya Samtani, he's Vidya Vinaya, he's very gentle. And he said sometimes one may be born as a Brahman, but he's doing some other type of activity. But that way also we can't tell. He said the only way to tell is by behavior. When he behaves like a Brahmin, he's a Brahmin. This is a very important answer. So anyway, after he answered all the questions, so many tricky questions were there, I don't remember all of them now. So he told, now I'm very pleased, you can have benediction, that one of your brothers who's lying here will come back to life. Can you please give your decision, who should it be? So Maharaj Yudhishthira was silent for some time. So he told that, I think it was Nakula. So that Yaksha, he was very surprised. He said, you could have had Bhim. Mighty Bhim. Rikodara. Who was capable of eating and performing wonderful Herculean tasks. Huh? Or that archer, Arjun. Greatest archer in the universe. You could have had him. Why you picked this Nakula? So he told, I am born from my mother Kunti's womb. And I am eldest son. And this Nakula, he's the eldest son of my, although they're twins, so he's the elder, son of my stepmother, Madri. So I am living as the representative of my mother Kunti, but there's no living representative from the womb of my mother Madri, so let him, like this. Yudhishthira was so just. So Yaksha was very satisfied. He said, no. Then he revealed himself that he was actually himself Dharmaraj, the actual father of Yamaraj, the father of Maharaj Yudhishthira. So then he gave him benediction. Everyone came back to life. Because he was very satisfied by this reply, this final reply. So they began to stay there, because just near that Dharma Kund was that Bimal Kund. So they were staying there on the banks of that beautiful Bimal Kund. One time, this Durvas Muni came. And at that time, Kunti Devi, was it Kunti or the Draupadi? Draupadi. Had one plate that was given to her by Sun God, I believe. So that as long as she had not taken her meal, that would give unlimited amounts of foodstuffs. But when she had taken her meal and washed the plate, then finished for the day. So Duryodhan, he was very tricky. Durvas Muni had come with all his 10,000 disciples, and he satisfied him very nicely. And when he asked for some benediction, he said, no, I don't need you. Just go visit my friends, my brothers there in the forest. But you go there after Draupadi has taken her meal. And he knew, then they'll get some trouble. And this Radhe Radhe. Then this Javas Muni, he's partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. So he will, just like Lord Shiva, he's Asutosh, very easily pleased. But he's also very easily displeased. So Javas Muni also like that, very easily displeased also. And then he can create so much havoc. So it's alright, go there at that time. And they won't be able to receive him properly. He's got 10,000 disciples. They're just living in the forest where they knew I'm a big king. I can do so many things in my palace. They've come, I've fed them very nicely. What are they going to do when they don't have Draupadi has taken her meal? He'll become angry. Then they'll get big trouble. So Javas Muni came there. And Draupadi, she saw, here's Javas Muni with his 10,000 disciples. She just brought the plate from washing. Now what to do? So she couldn't think of what to do. So she told Javas Muni, you just go take your bath. By that time, we'll arrange everything for you and your disciples. And Prabhupada explains, and she used her the ultimate weapon of the woman. She began to cry. While thinking of Lord Krishna, of course. So immediately Lord Krishna appeared on the scene. He said, oh, Draupadi, I'm so hungry. Please give me something to eat. I'm so hungry. He said, but that's the whole problem. Now you also want to put me in problem. He said, no, you just find out. Let me see your plate. And he found one little piece of rice is sticking on the side of that plate. He took that. He said, oh, now I'm fully satisfied. And she started to cry that Javas Muni has come with this 10,000. He says, why are you worrying, Draupadi? Don't you know I'm here? Why are you worrying? He said, Bheem, you go and call. He specifically mentioned Bheem to go and call Javas Muni. So what did Bheem do? He picked up his club. He walked off toward the Jamuna. That time Jamuna was flowing there in Kamba. Now, listen. Meanwhile, Javas Muni and all his disciples, they're in the water. And as soon as Krishna became fully satisfied, then everyone in the whole universe became fully satisfied. They were feeling, just like me yesterday. We had a nice pancake feast at Dhritarashtra's house. So I was sitting there trying to give class and I was just feeling half asleep. So they were just like, you couldn't even dream of eating anything. I didn't even dream of eating anything till late at night. So they were feeling just like that. They just had pancake breakfast at Dhritarashtra's house, cooked by Pindranath. Real life. It was real life maple syrup. So they were feeling just like that. So they saw, they're in the water, and they saw, here comes Bheem with his club over his shoulders. Then they thought, and Javas Muni thought, no, if we now refuse to take prasadam, this Bheem, he's going to take that club and smash us. So without even washing their cloths, with their cloth still wet, they just grabbed their cloth and they just ran with their wet cloth, you know, just wringing it out as they ran. And they ran away. And this day they were saved from this trouble.
Where is that spot?
Bhimalkund. You go to Kamyavan, you go staying there in this Kamyavan, so it was very interesting. What else happened there? And these are all famous stories we know, but we didn't know they happened just nearby. Or here in Braj. We get the question. And
Mahabandhu, I just have a question about the one detail of the pastime. You said that Krishna took a grain of rice off Draupadi's plate.
Hmm.
Sometimes we hear that he took this out of the pot. You know, this one is, sometimes you hear it that way, that you took it
out of the pot,
cooking pot.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, he just got a piece of rice, that is the main point. But I can't imagine out of a cooking pot because she didn't have to cook because everything came from her plate.
Out of a cooking pot.
Hmm?
was a cooking pot.
So it was a cooking pot instead of a plate?
Yeah. Okay. Because when you cook, you get food unlimited.
That's fair. So we always heard plate, but anyway, it was a cooking pot.
Because of if it was a plate, then the rice would be contaminated and it would be standard.
So, anyway, many of these pastimes took place there on the side of this Bimalkund. Then also there's one very interesting Madan Mohan temple there. There's two Madan Mohan temples. One is belonging to Ballava Sampradaya, that's another thing. But there's an old Madan Mohan temple. Hardly a temple, looks just like a house. And if you go there, you'll see Madan Mohan, he's practically being worshipped just like it's just part of the... It hardly looks like a temple, it just looks like a house. So what happened was, Krishna happened to be stealing butter in that particular house, and that Brijbasi, he caught him. And he forbade him to leave, so he's staying there in that Brijbasi's house. Captured. And huge. Nanda Maharaj has got another, just like in Gokul, we've seen this 84 pillar Nanda Bhavan. Also there in Kamban. Because they used to move around. They're cowherds, so they'll move around a lot, wherever the green grasses are. They also built very nice Chirasi Kamba, 84 pillar house, assembly hall there in Kamban. What else is there in Kamban? So many kunds, Gaya kund is there, Prayag kund. Kamban is just filled with unlimited places. It's everywhere there's some place. So once we leave Kamban, then we start towards Barsana. Before we get to Barsana, we pass through a little village called Kanwara. So Kan means this ear. There's two stories about this place. This is the place where Krishna had his ear piercing. You see all the little boys, they also wear earrings. You see here in Braj many little boys also with earrings, not just little girls. But so Krishna had his ear piercing. Also, this was the ashram previously of Kanwa Muni. Anybody knows Kanwa Muni? This is a very interesting pastime because we all know the pastime of our what is his name? He was rival of Vishistha Muni. Vishwamitra, who was a Brahmin, he wanted to become he was a Kshatriya, he wanted to become a Brahmin. So one of the times that he was performing penances and austerities, then Indra sent this Menaka, and by tinkling of her ankle bell he fell down, broke his meditation and he fell down. So as a result, one very beautiful girl was born named Shakuntala. But these demigoddesses, they're just, especially apsaras, they're not very interested in family life so much, so she just abandoned her in the forest. So that Kanwa Muni found this Shakuntala and he kept her in his ashram there in Kanwara, just between Barsana and Kamivan. Then of course one day Bart, and his whole story is there, Bart Maharaj came Well, Kanwa Muni was out of his ashram. He came. He saw this very beautiful girl there, and he convinced her to become his princess. And they joined together there, and he promised, when you come, when child comes, then you come to my kingdom. So then he left, but then Kanwa Muni, he could understand everything that happened. He was very pleased, because Kshatriyas are allowed to do all these types of things, so this was not at all adharma, it was dharmic. But somehow or other, I can't remember exactly the story. She went, when child came, she went there, and so this Bharat Muni said, I don't know who you are. I don't know anything about this child or who you are. Just see a rascal, huh?
Srivastava Muni girl, he gave a ring to her. And then when Srivastava Muni came, she was in meditation of the king rather than paying attention to Srivastava Muni.
Gotcha.
He cursed her that to whomever you are meditating on, he will forget you. Then other girl said pardon of him and that no, she is in your sentence, she did not know your presence. So he said, then he said that if she shows whatever she is giving, the king gave the ring. If she throws that ring, then he will remember. Then she goes before even her child was born.
Okay.
To the king, and king forgets. So she goes to the forest and lives in the forest where this Bharat was born. Then one fisherman, the fish eats that her ring fell down in a river or a pond where she was drinking the water while coming to the king. So the ring fell down and a fish ate it. And a fisherman caught hold of the fish, and when he saw the ring and with the name was there, Dushyant, so he brought it to the king. And then he immediately then remembered about what happened and how he drove away the Shakuntala and did not recognize her. Then he remembered all his past time with Shakuntala. Then he went to the forest and he searched for her. When he saw first, he did not see, he saw a boy playing with his, counting the teeth of the lion, or a little cup of the lion he was playing. Then she said it. So she was staying in the forest. Now she did not go back to the Kanwa Muni ashram again. Then he came to the, and then she got pardon, and then they came back to the kingdom.
The whole very interesting history is there. So after we pass through Kanwara, then we come to a very, very amazing place. There's a just between the mountains, very hidden place. After you come out of Kanwara, you go up a little ways, then you come down into this beautiful little valley that used to be filled with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of kadamba trees. So it is called Kadam Kandi. It's like kand. Kanda means, it's like whenever they're doing the puja, you know, the Jambu Dwipe Bharat Kande. Kande means some particular place. So this is Kadam Kandi, that place where so many kadamba trees are there. But this is a specific one. There's many places like that. Actually, we missed one there in Badrik Ashram. There's also one Kadam Kanan there. So this is Shunera. One village is nearby, we'll get there in a minute. That is called Shunera. So this is Shunera Kadam Kandi. Very beautiful forest. In the evening you will see hundreds and hundreds of peacocks come there and dance. It's a very famous place. Certain times of the year many hundreds of peacocks come there. Very peaceful, beautiful forest, beautiful little kundas there. Beautiful place for swinging. So in this, it's just between Nandagram and Barsana, so they would meet there very secretly and enjoy so many wonderful pastimes, dancing and singing. It's just in a little valley, you know, so it's very private and very peaceful and quiet, very wonderful place. So then, we'll go a little ways past there, we come to Sunera. So Sunera comes from the fact that something is gold. One name of gold is Sona. Also for sleep. Both are the same, Sona and Sona. So anything that is golden, then that becomes Sonera. Sunera. So that village is called Sunera. Because just like in the Krishna book, we'll get to that Or maybe we'll, I don't know, we never go to that place on Braj Mandapur, so maybe we'll miss it. But there's a little village up the road here called Chow Mua. Chow means four, and Mua means faces. Plural. Mu is face, and Mua means there's many faces, four. So Lord Brahma, after stealing all the cowherd boys and cows, he was coming back. He passed by that village, everyone said, who's this four-faced wala? Ye char mua wale kon hai? So the village became known as Chomua. Who's that four-faced wala? He passed by there. So then it Prabhupada describes that he fell down, when he saw Krishna, he fell down just like a golden rod. Lord Brahma is very golden in complexion. So in the Sunera village, he performed many penances and austerities for many, many thousands and thousands of years. Not just ordinary years, but demigod years. So because he was golden in complexion, that whole village became known as Sunera. As a result of that benediction, he got, that austerity, he got benediction that he would be able to give Radharani away in marriage. That pastime we'll hear about when we get to Bandirban. So that village became known as Sunera. Also, Rangadevi and Sudevi, they're twin sisters, they're born in that village, Sunera Gama. So then after passing that, because all around, next place we're coming to is Barsana, and all around Barsana we'll find all the different villages of the different Astasakis. But just before we get to Barsana, in fact, we'll find one village called Unchagaon. Unchagaon is the birthplace of Lalita Sakhi. Very, very wonderful place. Because we're all followers of Lalita, because Lalita, she's the head of all the, one of the main groups of Sakhis. Under her is Rupa Manjari, who's none other than Rupa Goswami. So Prabhupada has told us we're all Rupa Nugas, we're all followers of Rupa Goswami. So Lalita Devi is our leader. Without her permission, it's very difficult for us to get Radha and Krishna's mercy. So this Unchagaon is a very, very important place. Extremely important place. And very beautiful temple of Lalita Devi is there. I don't know much about her birth. But she's a little bit older than Radharani, so she's always controlling Radharani. Always, don't walk too fast, don't eat too fast, dress yourself properly. Whenever Krishna misbehaves, then she tells Radharani, don't associate with this rascal anymore. And somehow that she also arranges for them to make up like that. She's always controlling all of Radharani's movements. Very, very important. Unchagaon. In Unchagaon there was one. Oh, we'll tell that when we get to Gevardhan. It's more fun. After we pass Unchagaon, then we finally come to Barsana. And Barsana is the living place of Srimati Radhika. His birthplace we'll get to later if we make it all the way to Rawal on the other side of Jamuna. The same way that Nanda Baba was living in Gokul, then this Vishwana Maharaj, he was living at Rawal. When Nanda Baba moved to Vrindavan, he was staying there at Chatikara. Then Vishwana Maharaj, he was staying there at Basati. And then when Nanda Baba moved to Nandagram, then Prasavana Maharaj, then he moved to Barsana. So therefore in Bhakti Ratnakar it says, just see, near this Barsana hill is the palace of Prasavana Maharaj. So just at the bottom of the hill, there's an old broken down temple with very, very ancient deities of Prasavana and Kirtida and Radharani and Sridham. Prishabhanu's palace was just there at the bottom of the hill. And on top of this hill is a very beautiful forest called Geburon. In this Geburon forest, this is the, you can say, playground of Radha and Krishna. Because this Barsana is named not just, better said, it is, Barsana comes from the word Barsha. You know Barsha? Rain, we're all afraid. We saw cloud in the sky. Maybe it'll rain. Maybe we won't have class in Goshala today. Everybody was late. So this Barsana, not ordinary rain is coming. Their rain of Krishna Prema is coming. And so many wonderful pastimes are sprinkled all over this Barsana. Especially this Geburon, so many wonderful pastimes are taking place. Just on one side, there's a very narrow passageway that is called Sankari Kor. Sankari is something very narrow. Otherwise, Chora means very wide, but something very narrow, Sankari. Very narrow way. Other side of that passage, one side is Barsana village, other side is one village called Chiksoli, which is the birthplace of Chitraleka, one of the Astasakis, Chitradevi. It's also famous for butter and milk and yogurt and ghee, all types of milk products. So gopis, they will go there and collect all of these wonderful milk products from Chiksoli, and then they'll come with these big heavy pots on their heads, and they have to pass through this little narrow passageway, gully. So Brijananandan, he also knows that they've gone there for getting all this nice butter and yogurt and milk and so many things. And he also knows that only one person at a time can get through that passageway. So he comes there and he stands right in the middle of that passageway. And Radharani comes with this big pot of yogurt on top of her head. And Brijananandan doesn't move, and she's telling him to please move out of the way. He says, no. You girls are making big, big profit, I know, with all this butter and yogurt and milk and so many things. And you're not giving any tax to your king, so today I have come to collect tax. Radharani said, this is my father's place. Why do we have to give tax? So like that big argument comes. So then Marumangal and Subal, they become the advocates for Lord Krishna's side, and Lalita and Visakha, they become the advocates for Radharani's side. So Marumangal, he says, wait a minute. This bowl of Braj belongs to Krishna's father. He is Brajendranandan. He's the Brajender. He's the king of Braj. And Krishna is his son, Brajendranandan. And he just says, now wait a minute. This fellow was staying over there in Gokul, and he created so much trouble by stealing activities. Everybody went to the king, and King Kamsa came there, and they had to flee away from that place. He was such a rascal and such a thief that all the citizens complained to the king, and the king sent his men, and they just picked up and ran from that place. And Vrishabhanu Maharaj, out of the kindness of his heart, he gave a little tiny corner of his kingdom so they have some place to stay. And now they're claiming to become king of the whole place. Just see the impudence. Madhavanga says, wait a minute. This is a bogus story. We never heard a story like that. This is a bogus story. And every time you make a bogus story or every argument, we're going to double the tax. And besides, you girls are going around picking all the flowers too. See, we'll start taxing for that also. Lalita says, now wait a minute, you guys are going with all your cows and eating all the grass. We're going to take tax for that. So like this, big argument is going back and forth and back and forth. It's never coming to any conclusion. Or somehow or other Radharani, she tries to get past Krishna, but Krishna, he's just so angry when Radharani tries to sneak past him like that. You know what happens when little boys become angry? Just like a little atomic bomb goes off in the heart, you know? It's like you take something out of their hand, boom, you know? Grab it back. You see all these little kids playing there on the side of the guest house every day, you know? You take something, like, so Krishna, she tries to sneak by, and now he's just become so angry by this sneaky tactic. Boom! Like lightning, he pulls that pot out of Radharani's, off Radharani's head. He just grabs onto one side of the mouth. So when he tries to do that, then Radharani, she grabs the other side of that mouth of that pot. And we just describe what happens when little boys get angry. We don't even want to worry about it. We don't even dream about what happens when little girls get angry. So Radharani, she grabs the other side, and her eyebrows are crossed. And she's pushing, and Krishna's pushing. And then Krishna calls all the sakas, and they get behind, and they're pushing down and down and down. And Radharani screams for all her sakis, and they come behind her, and they're pushing and they're pushing. And her pigtails, her little ponytails, braids are just going in the sky like this, and she's pushing and pushing. And Krishna's pushing, and the gopis are pulling on the sikas of the cowherd boys, like. And the cowherd boys are pulling on the saris of the gopis like this. Whole big push of war is going on. But somehow Radharani, she just screams all her sakis, and they push, and they're going to get out of that valley. They finally got to the very entrance of that valley. Krishna sees that the sakis are going to win. So he just takes that pot, and there's a rock there, and just pow! He smashes that pot right on the side of that rock. Even today, they perform this pastime on the... Trayadasi, I think. Radhashtami is an Ashtami, so then in Trayadasi, all the Brahmins from underground come and they sit. You've seen that little, there's a little patio there, and once you get through, they all sit there and they sing all these Brijbasi songs, and they have some little Brijbasi boys dressed up like Radha and Krishna and all the Sakis, and they come there and they dance, and there's one big Panda there, who's master of ceremonies. So all the sakis, they're doing, what do they call it, dulcha. They're just smacking him in the face like that, and takes his cane, and then the sakis and they keep coming, and when he's not looking, you know, he's got his big cane, when he's not looking, oh, just these little love punches. Very funny. Then finally, all the residents of Chiksoli Gram come, they just rip up branches of trees and plants from the ground, and they're shouting and carrying on like anything, and they all come charging through, and they have this big pot of yogurt, and they pick up Radha and Krishna, and they go up into that, you know, the whole place. There's not one inch that's not covered by people. I couldn't possibly even dream of going up there to see the pastime, but anyway, somehow they go up there, they smash this big pot of yogurt, and then everyone dives on that spot trying to get some yogurt for prasadam. All pastime goes place, takes place. So then once you get past this little Sankari core, and then we move up on up the hill, we come to beautiful little Kund. After we pass through Chiksoli Gaon, then we come to this beautiful little Kund called Krishna Kund. And one time cowherd boys were very thirsty, so Krishna took his flute and he dug this Kund with his flute. It's a very handy flute, you know, for just playing tunes, for calling cows, calling gopis, digging kuns. Very handy flute. So just behind that Krishna Kund, you'll see, when you come in, then you'll see on the other side, there's a little secluded place, and little asan is there. This is the sitting place of Maru Mangal. Because one time, Krishna came with all the cowherd boys, and they know that Chiksoli Gram has got so much wonderful, it's very famous for its butter and milk and yogurt. So nobody was around, they snuck into one gopi's house, and they had a big feast, just eating yogurt and butter, having a grand old time. So that gopi, from the outside, from the window, she saw what's going on inside her house. So she went around to the front door. Now you see in India, all the doors are double like this, you know, and there's a little bolt and lock on one side and bolt and lock on another side. So on the outside, she pushed the lock. And she ran off to call all the other gopis. Now they caught Krishna inside the house. Krishna, he also heard that sound. He also knows what that sound means. So he looks around, all the cowherd boys, and he looks around and he says, let's go out the window. So all the cowherd boys, they all run and they jump and they climb up and they all go out the window. But there's one friend of Krishna named Madhu Mangal. First of all, Madhu Mangal is lame. So he can't, all the other cowherd boys, they just ran and climbed up. So Madhu Mangal, he's having a hard time getting over there. And he can't climb up so well. Second of all, he's not actually a cowherd boy. He's a Brahmin. Now you may have noticed Brahmin in Vrindavan doesn't mean very skinny. If you call Brahmins for a feast, then you have to have at least 20 Desi Laddus, you know. I mean, Desi Ghee Laddus, you know, made with real ghee. At least that's just the start. If you don't have 20 on the plate to start, then you can forget it. Well, my friend in Kanpur was telling how the first time he came to Mathura, one Panda came and he told, you make feast for 4 or 5 Brijbasis, it's very nice. He said, alright, so what do you need? And he told, he needed so much money. He said, why do you need so much money? He said, well, you need at least 3 kilos of ghee. I said, 3 kilos of ghee? What are we going to do? Just 5 people and to make some puris and... So they made this very famous thing called Dal Bati Churma. So they take these little chapati balls and they cook them in the fire. Then they smash them. After they're nice and hard, then they just smash them back into powder again. And then he just took all that ghee. He just watched. He showed him. He wasn't going to waste any of the, you know, but he wasn't lying. He showed him. He just poured so much ghee into that mixture. And then they pour so much bura into the mixture. Then they again make it into these great big balls like this. And they make this nice thick dal. And they had kachuris also. So then they offered to Krishna and they all sat down. And my friend in Kanpur told, I couldn't even eat one of those balls. And these guys took at least 2. And they were just going, oh, Jujman, what about you? They were just giving blessings like anything. They're very happy. So, they're not very skinny. So Madhu Mangal, after he finally got to the window and he finally climbed up, when he got into the window, he got stuck. So all the gopis came back and they flang open the door and they came running inside and they found everybody's gone. Just there's one fat fellow stuck in the window. So they pulled him out and they tied his hand with flower garlands. And they took him outside and they said, all right, now we've got hostage. You're going to have to call Krishna. And they tied a string around his tikka and they threw that string through the branch of the tree. And then they hauled on that string and, Krishna! 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 So Krishna heard Madhu Mangal's crying like anything, so he immediately came on the spot. Hey! What have you done? Don't you know? He's not a gwal. He's not a cowherd boy. This is a Brahmin. You have done Brahmin aparad. Now your health and wealth and everything is finished. You've done Brahmin aparad. This is very serious. Your health and wealth, everything is finished. So the gopis, they always believe whatever Krishna says. So immediately, so what can we do? How do we get free? So Thakurji, he sat for 1 second and thought. He said, you go to your houses, you bring back as many laddus as you can find in your houses, you make a nice asan for Madhu Mangal here, you sit him on that asan, and you feed him all of your laddus, he will become so pleased, he'll forget about that aparad. Not only forget about aparad, he will give you blessings that whatever the manu kamana, whatever that secret desire in your heart is, he will get that fulfilled by his blessing. So all the gopis, I mean, Asan for Mother Mangal, they sat him down, they ran back to their houses, and they got as many laddus as they can find, and they were feeding laddu and 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 laddu to Madhu Mangal, until he was so happy, he was just like those Brahmins in Mathura. They're just giving all blessings. And so Madhu Mangal, he was just giving so many blessings. Like he forgot all about aparad, he was giving blessings, that whatever desire is in their manu kamana, secret desire in their heart. Of course, their only secret desire in the heart, of course, is to please Krishna. And this is the marvelous thing about gopis. They have no desire for their own sense gratification. 150%, they're simply interested only in satisfying Lord Krishna. So this was their only desire, that somehow the Lord Krishna would become pleased with them. So Madhu Mangal was giving his blessing. More. Not what when you went, you didn't get enough halava on your plate. Not that more. More means?
Peacock.
Peacock. Somebody's picking up a little Hindi, huh? Peacock. One very beautiful place, more kutir is there. So like I said, this Gabhravan on top of this Barsana hill is the playground of Radha and Krishna. So Krishna saw that Vrishbhanu Nandini is there with all her sakis and they're watching something. So Vrishbhanu Nandan came there to that place and he saw the peacock is dancing. So then he also began to dance like peacock. He was dancing and peacock was dancing. Then he appeared before Vrishbhanu Nandini and she said, "Your dancing is very nice." He said, "But this peacock dances nicer than you." So then again Krishna was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing and peacock was dancing and Krishna was dancing. Again he came before Vrishbhanu Nandini. He said, "That was much better. But this peacock dances nicer than you." So then Radharani, she began to dance like peahen. And Krishna began to dance like peacock, and they were both dancing and dancing together like this. A very, very beautiful pastime was taking place there. And you can go there to that place, one fainting is there, one blind Vaishnava was there, that although he was totally blind, that Radharani gave him benediction that if he will paint this pastime, that he will have darshan of this, even though he's totally blind. So he painted this pastime while he was having darshan of this pastime, Radha and Krishna dancing, and peacocks are dancing like this. So a very beautiful painting is there on top of this moor kutir. Then we go back down the hill, then we go through a very beautiful, all types of beautiful kunjas are there in this Gabhravan. So many wonderful pastimes take place here. On top of the next hill, there's one Man Kutir. Man, people usually translate as anger. But Man actually means you take a little pride and crocodile tears and coquettishness and impetuousness and you mix it all together, then you get Man.
What is those words?
Oh, those are two big words for you. Coquettish means very... How will you say?
Coquettish.
That she's being shy in a very teasing way. You know, because when she's angry, she's not actually... Actually, she's very happy with Krishna, but outside she's showing anger. So some crocodile tears that we call crocodile tears, they're actually not really... real tears. So she's crying, but it is just all meant to increase the bliss of the pastimes. So you mix this all up together, and then you get Man. So what happened was, they were on top of that hill on the full moon night, and Krishna was describing Radharani's beauty. just like that of the full moon. Radharani, she became furious with Krishna. Why? Because moon, he's filled with so many faults. And Krishna is describing her as something that, with this, comparing her with something that is so faulty. First fault, moon, he is kalank. You know, kalank, kalank means he's got spots. That's a whole other history, how he got those spots. Anyway. Second, he is bunky. What is that? He's crooked. His moon, sometimes he's very crooked. Third, he's nisachar. You know Nisha? You have some friend maybe in India named Nisha? Nisha means night. It's like we're all trying to learn a little bit about Vaishnava achar. So nisachar means those who come, those whose achar is to come out at night. So moon, when he comes out at night. And who comes out at night? Only demon. Rakshasas. They're called nisachar. Just like when Lord Ram was in the forest, you know, in those 20,000 raiders of the night. What were they called? Something like that. They're all nisachar. Coming out at night. The moon, he's also just like these rakshasas and demons coming out at night. Nisachar. Kai, sometimes he shrinks. Sometimes he's big, sometimes he shrinks. Yeah, that's, so all these five faults are there. So Krishna has described also another fault is there. Radharani's main rival is? And name of moon is?
Chandra.
So Krishna is comparing her beauty just like that of her rival practically. So this way she became furious and she hid. As you can still find, there's a little cave there. Mahamantra was telling the story about this cave. But this king who got bit by the snake, he told the class the other day. He dropped his japa beads and he picked up a snake and it bit his fingers and he ran outside to the Ras Mandap and just began, "Oh Radhe, please take me." Then he saw poison was just coming out of the, instead of going inside, poison was coming out. But still it became infected. This little girl came and said, "Baba, Baba, why don't you... your finger is very infected, why don't you go see a doctor?" He said, "Well, Radharani has taken the poison out. So this infection is nothing for her to take care of, if she wants to take care of." So the little girl said, "Yeah, you're right." She went away, he looked back, he saw his finger was better, he realized that was Radharani herself. He was so upset, he just fell down on the spot and left his body and went back to home, back to Godhead. So that cave is still there, you can see. So Radharani, she hid. And Krishna, he couldn't find Radha anywhere. He just sat down there, he began lamenting. He began lamenting so much, even the rocks were melting by hearing Krishna's lamentation. He was just, how he can't live, he can't eat or sleep or drink or do anything, he can't, just lamenting like anything. At that time, feeling, because even rocks were melting, so Radharani could understand Krishna's feeling. So she came back, but dressed up just like Krishna. And Krishna, he saw, here's some fellow coming with peacock feather and flute and pitambar dhoti, everything. And he said, "Who are you?" And Brijamaru Nandini said, "I'm Krishna, who are you?" And Brijananda said, "No, I'm Krishna, who are you?" And Brijamaru Nandini said, no, I'm the real Krishna, who are you?" Krishna says, "I'm the real Krishna, you're an imposter. Who are you?" So Radharani said, "You're the imposter, I'm the real Krishna, who are you?" Like this, back and forth, back and forth. Then Radharani said, "Oh, if you're the real Krishna, then where is your Srimati Radhika?" So Krishna told, "I will play my flute, she will come, you'll see." So he began to play his flute. Again he played his flute. Third time he played very enchanting melody on his flute, just like that time we were talking on Govardhan. Krishna hid from the gopis and they came by and he made his form like Lord Vishnu with four arms. So he told gopis he went that way, but when Radharani came then those two hands disappeared. So same way when he was playing this very enchanting melody on his flute, then Krishna realized that Radharani is standing right in front of him disguised as himself. And he grabbed Radharani's hand and they ran off to Unchagam to see if Lalita can tell who is Radha and who is Krishna. We're going to go over time. There's one more pastime we have to tell before we end. Not end, but... So a little ways, we come back down from Mandir, and we go a little ways, we come to one Dan Bihari Mandir. So Dan means charity. So we went to this Unchagam. In Unchagam, there was one Brahmin who lived there. And not far from Unchagam, there's a little place called Dehakund also. Very significant. So this Brahmin from Unchagam, he was very poor. Just like me. And just like me, he had very beautiful daughter who was marriageable age. So, unless you've lived in India for a while, you can't really appreciate what that means to be very poor and to have very beautiful marriageable age daughter. Because in India, not only you have to feed and clothe and raise and educate and train her how to cook and sew and do everything and serve her husband for her whole life, even when you finally get her to that point, then you still have to pay money. You have to give dowry if you want to get your daughter married. Because now they abuse the system. The original system is that only the sons will inherit the property of their father. So what are the daughters going to do when they're married? They don't have to wait for him to kick off. When they're married, then they get their inheritance. Then father gives some of his wealth. He gives the inheritance at time of marriage. Because now they've abused this system. But anyway, that's another story. But fact is, if you're very poor and you have a daughter, then you just begin an intense anxiety. How are you going to get your daughter married? And this Brahmin, he had a wife whose tongue was just like razor blades. You useless bum. Your daughter's ready to be married. You don't go get some donation somewhere. What are you doing? She's just chastising every day. Sharp words. Finally she told you, don't come in the house. I'm not going to cook. I'm not going to eat. Sweep. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not even let you back in the house unless you get some done. You get some dan, some charity somewhere or another, and you get your daughter married. You arrange the marriage of your daughter. Oh, I'm not letting you back in the house. So you what to do? See, but anyway, Krishna is there in Gabarvan. He's Dinabandhu, friend of the poor. So I will go see him. So he came there to Gabarvan, he explained everything to Krishna, and Krishna said, Are, what am I supposed to do? I'm just a cowherd boy. I'm just here in the forest with all these gopis. Now what am I supposed to do? I mean, all my father's got so much treasure, but it's there in his palace in the underground. When I'm just a cowherd boy in the forest, what am I supposed to do? So that Brahmin, he became very unhappy. Now Krishna, he doesn't like, we know, go Brahmana hitayacha. He doesn't like to see cow or Brahmin unhappy. So he thought for 1 minute. He said, actually, I have one Priya. You know Priya? Priya means dear. Huh? And in British English, dear means something very expensive. You know, we have anyone from England? No one's here from England? Masha, you're not from England? You look so British. Huh?
Russian.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, In British English, it's, oh, it's so dear. Very expensive thing, very valuable. So anyway, I got one Priya. So I give this Radharani. He actually made Sankalp. He gave Radharani in charity to that Brahmin. Now that Brahmin really began to cry. He says, first of all, I have one daughter. I can't even give one daughter. Mary Daddy gave another. Now my wife is going to kill me. And Radharani says, you know, I can't live even one moment without your association. No, I have given charity to a Brahmin. I cannot touch. I cannot touch. But you know, even one moment I can't live. No, I cannot touch. So then Radharani began to cry. And seeing Radharani cry, then all the Sakis began to cry. Then Krishna saw, and everybody's crying. Haribo! Haribo! Everybody's crying. Now what to do? So he said, all right, you bring one scale. So on one side, they put Radharani. The other side, he told all the Sakis, now you put all your gold and ornament and jewels and bracelets, everything on the other side. So when all that gold and silver and jewels weigh just as much as the Deha. Do you know Deha?
Body.
Dehinosminyata Dehe, just like in this body. We're passing Komaram Jovanam Jara. So Deha means body. So when that all weighed just as much as the Deha of Srimati Radhika, then he gave all of that gold and silver to that Brahmin. He became very happy. Haribo! Just like this. Haribo! Did I go, Haribo? He ran home to get his daughter married. And Radharani, she became very happy. All the Sakis became very happy. In one stroke, Krishna made everybody happy. So we'll all be happy that Dinabandhu stopped and we can go fill our bellies with the Kadasi Prasad. He's got guava there? Only bear, I think.
Bear.
Yes, why not? This is favorite fruit of Braj.
The bear is like
Do you have any trees down here?
In the bush there, there are some trees.